I remember the first time I ever went to Edina Country Club. I was a seminarian at St. Paul's Seminary, maybe in third theology or something like that, and I was in the seminary in my early 30s, and there's some event, I don't know what that event was, but I and another seminarian drove here, were driven here, I should say, because our chauffeur for that particular event was none other than Archbishop Harry J. Flynn, who died a week ago, will be buried tomorrow. So Archbishop Flynn drove, and I don't even remember who the seminarian was, myself and he, and we came here, and there as we're driving down Highway 100, Archbishop Flynn goes, "And there's Our Lady of Grace. It's a really nice parish with nice people. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to go there someday." I go, "Whatever." And little did I know. And so we get to the Edina Country Club, and you've been there. We go, and you can actually get out of the car, and someone will take your car and park it. It's really kind of cool. And so we did that. As we get out, the seminarian who I was with, he takes a look at me, and he starts to laugh. And Archbishop Flynn takes a look, and he turns red. Because, see, Archbishop Flynn used the back seat of his car to transport his two big, wild, hairy dogs. And my entire backside on my black suit was covered with dog fuzz. And Archbishop goes, "Oh my." And he goes, he tries to brush it off. And the more he tries to brush it off, the worse it got. There was another time where I was a priest now, and I'm down in Faribault, and we combined three parishes, and we had to come up with a new name. And Archbishop Flynn says, "Well, what do you think we should call it?" And I said, "Well, I was thinking, how about the new name for the new parish be St. Kevin's?" "That would be just too obvious." But he was a great preacher. One of the things that he mentioned several times in his homilies was a time when he was driving, he was someplace, and he was at this street light. He noticed a gentleman to his left who needed some dollars. And the Archbishop saw him and said, "Well, I should get him some dollars." And so he reaches into his pocket, and of course then the light turns green, and the car behind him lays on his horn. And Archbishop gets a little flustered. It takes him all even longer to get a buck or two out to give to him. And finally the guy behind him whizzes past the Archbishop, and he's going past, yells out his window, "You're so gullible!" Archbishop Flynn reflected on that, and he realized being gullible has never been a reason to keep someone out of heaven. But not giving a buck or two has been. Lazarus was at his door. Lazarus was at his door. The rich man, today's gospel, he didn't have to go very far to encounter Lazarus. I mean, every day it says that he was at his door, and the Greek implies was placed there. In other words, that someone actually must have carried him there. Maybe he was lame. And there he was, and the rich man had to open his door in the morning and step around him, and at the end of the day had to come home and step over Lazarus and say, "Oh, why is he here? He stunk. I mean, the only friends he had were the dogs, because they liked to lick his sores." Lazarus was at his door. I believe that today, every one of us, if we haven't already, we've been up for several hours, or 10 minutes maybe, some of us. You're at one of the homecomings this weekend. But every one of us today will encounter Lazarus. You will meet Lazarus. I guarantee it. He'll be there for you and for me to encounter. He will be at the door. We won't have to go somewhere to meet him. Somehow God in his infinite love for you and for me will make sure that Lazarus comes into our presence. Will we encounter him? Will we see her? Or will we simply step around and ignore? This morning I woke up to the rain at 5 o'clock. It was beautiful. Got up, went to my chapel to pray, but before I go to pray, of course, I need a little, this black juice called coffee. So I go to the Keurig that Father Matthew and I have on our kitchen counter. I put a little cartridge from Costco in there because I think it's the best and cheapest. And I make my cup of coffee extra strong, go have a little cup of coffee with Jesus in our little chapel. And as I did it, I noticed that the water was like the tank was empty, you know, almost empty, which means you got to put more water in it. And I go, I'm tired. Let someone else do that. So I go and I sit in my chair in my little chapel having this beautiful prayer time with Jesus. And he's all happy, of course, because I'm there. And I'm all happy that I'm there. And it's just wonderful. And after a while, as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden I can hear from the lower level where Father Matthew lives, Lazarus has arisen. He's going to the kitchen. You know what he's going to get the very first thing? Coffee. A cup of coffee. And all of a sudden I hear, he's filling the machine up with water. And I thought, I should have done that. I knew it was empty. I should have done that. Lazarus had to get his own water. Lazarus was at the door. You will meet Lazarus today. And of course, it's not always easy. I get it. Sometimes it's difficult to serve Lazarus. It can become a huge inconvenience for you or for me, and you're out the door, and you want to do something, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and you've got to change your day, your life, your week, maybe even. And you got the grace to do it. That's why St. Paul, today's second reading to Timothy, who was just a young fella, just a young man. Kind of like, you know, young guy like you. And Lazarus was there, and or St. Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, remember who you are, man of God, that you've been called by God. So don't live a wimpy life. Keep your sights set on heaven. Live for eternity. Grab hold, he says. Grab hold of eternity. See, St. Paul knows that our eternity begins when we were baptized. And therefore, when you're having a tough day, when you got a Lazarus in front of you, when you have a Lazarus and you're wondering, how am I going to make this happen? Remember, grab hold of eternity. Because Lazarus we must serve, no matter how difficult. The last time I had a little conversation with Archbishop Flynn, was several months ago. And Archbishop Flynn was this, you know, famous archbishop, and his last 10 years have been hard, both because of the scandal in the church, his role or his lack of role or whatever in that, but also his health became increasingly diminished. For the last year, he hasn't been able to say Mass by himself, and so priests from the diocese could sign up and we could celebrate Mass with and for him. And so, a few months ago, I did that. Went over to his house, kind of by St. Vincent's there near the cathedral, in the rectory. And there, of course, to greet me were these two big, ugly, hairy dogs. Spoiled like nothing. And so we did Mass in his living room, and every now and then the dog would walk through. But one of the things I came to realize about Archbishop Flynn is that what allowed him to get through the difficulties, even his own difficulties, was that he clung to Jesus. He remembered who he was, a man of God, weak and foible, but a man of God, loved by God. And so every day in his prayer, he'd cry out to Jesus that Jesus might remember him, that Jesus might love him, that Jesus might forgive him, because he knew that Jesus did. And so let us today ask God for the grace to know Jesus. Grace to know Jesus so that when we go forth from here, or maybe you won't even have to go, maybe Lazarus might be leaning against your shoulder for all I know, that we will encounter him and that we will love Lazarus who's at the door.